This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Peter Costantini about Nicaragua. Now, you've traveled a lot in Central America. I'd like to start the conversation just by asking you, what's a banana republic?
A banana republic, I believe, was coined to refer to, it could have been Honduras, it could have been Guatemala, but a country, a small country where United States agricultural interests dominated so much that they pretty much ran the place, established the government. And our government used to send in the U.S. Marines whenever things got a little hard for those corporations.
So a banana republic would imply that it's an economy that basically has one raw natural resource to export.
One or sometimes a few, but all tending to be plantations, large-scale monocultures, banana plantations in those places. And Costa Rica has banana plantations too, but other places it's sugar cane.
So not just limited to bananas, but monoculture.
Monoculture,
easier to own, easier to manipulate the price.
And so, exporting it to the world market.
Now, is Nicaragua a banana republic?
No, I would say not right now, but it was for a long time. It wasn't quite as monolithic as some of the others in the kinds of agriculture that it had, but it was totally under the control of the United States. The Marines were in there basically running the country from 1909 to 1933.
Protecting the local elites or the foreign owners of the land?
Mainly the local elites, but there were, it was a mixture. And then the Somoza dictatorship was there from 1936 to 1979, and they were close allies of the United States, and several administrations of both parties supported and used. Somoza allowed Nicaragua to be the place where the Bay of Pigs invasion of Cuba was launched from. So he was close all along. He was an American, educated, went to school in Philadelphia, spoke very good colloquial English, and he was great in the country club. He was a backslapper, nice guy, and he convinced the Americans that he was their man. One of Franklin Delano Roosevelt's people said, "He may be an SOB, but he's our SOB."
Oh, is that where that came from?
Yeah.
That was a long time. And finally, I guess the rank and file working class people, the peasants, the farmers had just had it. And you have that revolutionary time when we all think of as the Contras and the Sandinistas and so on. What's today's economy like? Because that was a long time ago. Is Nicaragua still desperately poor, or are things kicking into gear?
Nicaragua is still desperately poor. It's still the second poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. But
after Haiti, right?
After Haiti, yes.
Right.
Honduras is not much wealthier, and it depends how you measure it.
You're more likely to get shot in Honduras, I believe.
Yes, Honduras
so you
is
can
much
be
more
poor and alive, or a little less poor and dead. You can choose Honduras or Nicaragua.
Yeah.
Now, we've both traveled in Nicaragua back in those heady days of the Sandinista Revolution, and then much more recently, Nicaragua had this special fervor, this spirit. The children of the elites, by my estimate, left the country, and they ended up running, arts commissions in Berkeley. And then all of a sudden, the Sandinistas are in power, and they go back down, and they have this idealistic government. But that doesn't work. And today, you've got sort of a mix. Where did all the revolution go? Did it win? Did it lose? Is there any echo of that today?
I think there is some, and I do think the revolution worked as much as any social revolution could, given the age of Reagan. They had the overthrow of Somoza happened in 79. Ronald Reagan came into office at the end of 81, and it was a terrible misfortune because I think the Sandinistas had learned from the Cuban Revolution and from the bad shape the Soviet Union was in that the Cubans told the Sandinistas, "You can't count on the Soviet Union. You need to take a different route."
Mm-hmm.
And so the Sandinistas, they were a coalition of people. They weren't one charismatic revolutionary, ranging from communists to Christian Democrats. Mm-hmm. A number of priests were in the government.
Mm-hmm.
But the center of it was social Democrats and socialists. Think of Bernie Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
In Europe, their biggest supporters were Olof Palme of Sweden, of the Social Democrats, Willy Brandt in Germany, who was of the Social Democrats, François Mitterrand in France, etc.
And there was a real idealism. I remember back then they had a law that prohibited advertisers from using women's bodies to sell things.
Yes. They brought democracy into Nicaragua for the first time. When you have a marine occupation and a dictatorship for almost 70 years, it's very hard to turn that around. But they actually established respectable democratic institutions.
Okay, but now we had you mentioned the charismatic single leader. I think you're referring to Daniel Ortega. Today, he's the president of the country, but he's quite a different character. What happened to Ortega?
The Sandinistas lost an election in 1990 that they allowed to happen even though a war had been going on. And the Bush administration at that point made very clear that if the opposition candidate, Violeta Chamorro, was elected, that the war would end and things would be better. And if not, the war would go on. And Nicaraguans voted practically to end the war.
So the vote was not Ortega versus Chamorro. It was war or peace.
It was,
and Ortega doubled down on the war and the local insistence, and the people went with Chamorro?
Oh, no, Ortega was, there was a peace process. And the Sandinistas were more than Ortega at that time. I think that's the critical thing. The head of the Electoral Council, who would have been their foreign minister at one point, was named Mariano Fiallos. Mm-hmm. He was the head of the law school in León. He came up to the University of Washington. I got to know him there. And he was someone respected by both sides in Nicaragua. Uh-huh. He set up the electoral machinery. And they had two respectable elections in 1984 and 1990 that the Sandinistas won the first one. And the CIA admitted at the time that they were very popular. In 1990, they lost, but Fiallos and the work of other Sandinistas who were Democrats, including Ortega, you have to give him credit. He accepted losing an election, even though it was unfair in many ways, and he left office.
Okay, but that was all this idealistic stuff and great and interesting sort of struggles and socialism and so on. Mm-hmm. Today, 25 years later, the same socialist, revolutionary, charismatic leader is considered a corrupt dictator of his own running the country. What's the situation with Ortega today in Nicaragua?
It's a sad thing that I think you've seen in other Latin American countries, in Argentina and Mexico. Ortega and the people closest to him, including his wife, after losing in 1990, they basically hollowed out the Frente Sandinista, the Sandinista party. They drove a lot of opposition people out of the party, people who challenged him for the leadership. Mm. And it wasn't bloody, but it was just they exiled him from the party.
They purged them. Voices against Ortega's vision.
Exactly. Fortunately, not in the sense of Russia. I mean, there were
like
no deaths that I'm aware of. There were three conservative governments who really didn't do much. One of them, Arnoldo Alemán, was so corrupt that Daniel did a very cagey thing. He got Alemán convicted of corruption and made a deal with him. He said, you won't go to prison as long as you split your party. The conservative party is actually called the Liberal Party in Nicaragua. He told Alemán to play my game and you stay out of jail. And Alemán did. And the conservative party is very small in Nicaragua, very discredited. They already were factional. And so after three administrations of conservative parties, Daniel won again. He won in 2006, I believe, as the election took office in 2007. And once he got in, he and his family and the group around him took over the government.
And now, in a nutshell, you could say they've sort of gained a taste for power, been a little bit corrupted, but there's not death squads and this kind of right-wing stuff, but you do have an autocrat in the presidency right
now. That's exactly it. The thing is, they continued some of the policies. They're still pretty popular because they continued the policies like there's one called Hambre Cero, Zero Hunger, which is packages of livestock and food
so
for people.
Yeah, so it's like the Romans, the circuses and bread.
Exactly. In terms of Latin America, in Mexico, the ruling party for 70 years was very similar. They started as a revolutionary party, and they ended up, there's a word clientelismo, clientelism, in Spanish. So they've done better. And the thing is, the alternatives really aren't good.
Conservative parties. You've got to be realistic. I mean, you're going to have questionable sort of a authoritarianism one way or another.
Exactly.
My sense is you can take an idealistic revolutionary, put him in power, give him a lot of money as a salary, and all of a sudden he gains a taste for that and he becomes corrupted. This is Travel with Rick Steves. I'm talking with journalist Peter Costantini. We're talking about Nicaragua, and Peter was there just a couple of months ago. So today, Peter, after all of this rough and tumble, what are the big issues and the challenges for the people in Nicaragua?
Poverty is still a huge problem. There is crime. There are not large gangs, serious international gangs that they have in El Salvador, Guatemala, Mexico. Drugs come through, but they don't seem to have really taken hold in the same place. And Nicaraguans, when they emigrate, they tend to go more to Costa Rica now, the poor Nicaraguans. The wealthier ones go to Miami. So there wasn't the back and forth between L.A. and San Salvador.
Like El Salvador.
Yeah, the La Dumara Salvatrucha and the other major international gangs.
So they're still poor. They've got not the horrific gang problems that they have in El Salvador.
Not at all. As a visitor, you're safe in most of the country. There are certainly like neighborhoods in any big city, but right. It's really, things have improved a lot in terms of the infrastructure. Authoritarianism for Nicaraguans is a big problem now. Although the government has done a good job with certain things, actually with the infrastructure, with alternative energy, and some of the poverty programs, they are losing money because Venezuela, Hugo Chavez in Venezuela, gave lots of money to poor countries around Latin America.
Oh, because he was funding Cuba. He was funding Nicaragua also.
All of
his leftist friends, he wanted to bump up their economies.
And Daniel Ortega and his people took most of that money. They used some of it for purposes, but they never put it into the national budget. Mm. So maybe more than half of that money went into enterprises that are actually run by the Ortega group. Oh, They're the biggest business group, or one of the biggest business groups in Nicaragua at the moment. So that's a problem too.